Hey everybody, Colt here. Thanks for stopping by and checking out our podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, be sure to check out our website, draftdive.com, or follow us on Twitter, @draftdive and @_ColtWilliams. Now, enjoy the episode.
Back to another episode of the Draft Dive Fantasy Football Show. I'm Jonah, joined as always by my co-host Colt. Colt, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jonah. Exciting Monday night football game we just wrapped up there. Eagles take third loss in a row. It's been a few, but
yeah,
brutal loss to the Seahawks.
Yeah, it's getting tough for the old Eagles now.
Yeah, I don't know if you know, Hurts' health had anything to do with it. I know that he was, you know, didn't quite have his flu game, his Michael Jordan flu game, if you will. So, obviously, yeah, That's going to play into it a little bit. But losing to Drew Lock, that never feels good. It's just that ends up happening. But we've got some QB streamers here that, you know, not necessarily the Drew Lock level. Not necessarily the Jalen Hurts level, but we'd like to go ahead and go into the waiver wire episode. I'm going to kick it off here with a couple of guys. Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's available in about half of leagues. He went absolutely crazy this last week. 380 and 4 touchdowns through the air. Now he gets to play the Jaguars, who have allowed the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield's at the top of my quarterback streams. Is he up there for you?
Yeah, he's definitely up there.
Yeah. We've also got Joe Flacco. He's available in about 2/3 of leagues. He gets to play Houston. We know Houston's been putting up points. Their defense is a little willing to the quarterback position. His pass attempts over the last 3 weeks, 44, 45, 44. So he's just absolutely slinging it nonstop. 7 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks, which is, yeah, I'd say that's pretty good for somebody you're picking up off of waivers. Yeah, I mean, last week he just threw 3 picks, and he still got you about 16 points in 4-point touchdown scoring leagues. So, yeah, I mean, he's still getting it done there. He's just airing it out nonstop. I'm curious of where you stand on this next guy, Jake Browning, at Pittsburgh. Now, I'll remind you that Pittsburgh, they've been top 10 against quarterbacks. He played them week 12, and he didn't quite get it done, although it was his first start. He had 220 passing yards, a touchdown, an interception. It wasn't a great day for Jake Browning, but he gets to play him again. Are you taking Jake Browning over Joe Flacco or Baker Mayfield?
Gosh, I'm thinking about it. I like Jake Browning, and I think he'll do fine in the matchup. I think Minnesota's defense is a much tougher defense, and he managed to do okay against them. And I think he does pretty well against the Steelers.
Yeah, it was about two or three quarters into the game where he just didn't do anything, and then just out of nowhere just started doing what Jake Browning has been doing the past couple weeks. So, yeah, I mean, that's I think he certainly has about as much upside as Baker Mayfield has. He certainly has more upside than Joe Flacco because he kind of gets it done on the ground as well. But, yeah, I think those are some of the top quarterback streamers, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And Flacco, he will probably throw the ball another 50 times. So,
yeah, I think he might have to, especially with, you know, CJ Stroud coming back, hopefully, and Nico Collins probably suiting up. Yeah, they're going to put up some points there in Houston. On to running backs, I think there's a couple of names we have to mention at the top. They're likely rostered, but worth double checking. Gus Edwards. He is now the lead back for the Ravens. I mean, Keaton Mitchell, he's looked explosive every single time he touches the ball. He is out for the season with a knee injury, so it is going to be the Gus Bus show here going forward. Devin Singletary, both these guys are, you know, rostered about 70% of leagues, so they're likely not out there, but you have to double check. Devin Singletary coming off another monster game, kick Dameon Pierce just to the bench. I mean, he was not part of the game plan whatsoever. Yeah, Singletary's looked amazing. Gus Edwards, like I said, he's looked great. He's getting a lot of the end zone carries. Once they get down to the 10, he's getting a lot of those carries that are high value carries. So those guys should be at the top of your priority. But I think this guy's a little more available. I know you're going to know the name. Ty Chandler, available in about half of leagues. Just a quick little, I know you're the Vikings fan here of the show. Mm-hmm. I got a quick question for you. Who do you think is older, Alexander Mattison or Ty Chandler?
Well, gosh, I would have thought Mattison was, but I must be wrong.
Yeah, if I'm asking the question, it is a trick question. It is Ty Chandler. He's actually older, shockingly. I mean, he played, I think, 5 years of college ball, so that's going to – and Alexander Mattison came in pretty quick into the league. But, yeah, only been in the league for 1 year, Ty Chandler. He's 25. His birthday's in May, and then I think Alexander's in June. But when I saw the two of them, when I was looking through the stats, both of them are 25, I was like, there's no way. Like, it's – yeah. Everybody has a different route to get to the NFL. Ty Chandler ended up being a little older, but he's looked amazing. I mean, he looks quick. He's got all of the work. Kine, I mean, he typically is a special teams running back. He got, I think, maybe a carry. I'm not really excited for the Lions matchup. It doesn't also bode well that Mattison is also coming back, but I think he's proved enough at this point that he is... I mean, maybe the guy going forward to just help them here this week as, you know, as the feature running back. Where do you stand with Ty Chandler? I think he's at the top of all of our, you know, running back waiver wire orders. But what do you think the split's going to look between him, Mattison, and any idea what Kevin O'Connell thinks?
You know, not sure what Kevin O'Connell thinks, but by the eye test, you certainly like Ty Chandler better. I mean, this past week was by far their best running game. He was averaging, I believe, over 5 yards a carry.
Yeah. 5.7 is wild.
Yeah. So, and it was pretty consistent too. I don't think anyone expects, I think people expect Chandler to keep getting the majority of work.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree as well. I roll him out with confidence. I mean, it's not an exciting matchup, like I said, against the Lions, who, like I said, they've been kind of not great on defense as of lately, but it's mainly been through the air. But, yeah, it's still on the course of the season. It's not been an ideal matchup or favorable matchup to running backs. But Ty Chandler, like I said, I think he's going to get enough work that it's not going to really matter. And who's to say Mattison does suit up? And if he does, it might be a limited role. Ty Chandler just needs to make a few plays. Kevin O'Connell could easily say, hey, you've got the hot hand. Go ahead and get it done. So Ty Chandler's at the top of my list. There's a couple of other running backs here that I think are in a unique situation. Let's talk about the Colts backfield with Trey Sermon and Tyler Goodson. Tyler Goodson, I liked him coming out of, I think, Iowa. Had good pass-catching chops and kind of blew up his junior year. I mean, these guys aren't at the top of my list simply because Jonathan Taylor, I mean, we're talking right after Monday Night Football, but he's trending to play. Zach Moss, he's got banged up with a shoulder injury. He got horse collar tackled as he was going in for a touchdown. So he didn't leave you high and dry. He ended up getting a touchdown and died a hero. But yeah, I mean, it's not a pretty situation. And then I think, you know, just overall, I'm going Sermon if I had to pick one of the two. Do you have a read on if Jonathan Taylor and Moss were to not suit up for whatever reason? I'm in the camp that they do. Do you lean Trey Sermon or Tyler Goodson?
Sermon seems to be the more known product, so I would guess Sermon, but just a guess.
Yeah, he got more of the run, got more of the carries. Yeah, I mean, they both looked explosive. When you watch them, you got to really look at the numbers because, I mean, they were just blowing through the hole. You know, once the Colts line, they were just making easy gaps there for him. But, yeah, I mean, it's a Trey Sermon. It's a gamble. Whether I'm playing the Jonathan Taylor or the Moss, Zach Moss owner, or if I have either one of those players, that's where I'm a little more excited to grab Trey Sermon or Tyler Goodson. Goodson probably cost you the least amount if you're still using the FAB system. But yeah, it's not a pretty backfield. Another not so pretty backfield, the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, Andy Reid's coming out. It's coach speak. So he's saying that Isaiah Pacheco is going to be back this week, week 16. But in limited roles, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, they're rostered in only about 50% of leagues, and they've been getting it done. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 17 opportunities, found the end zone through the air. Jerick McKinnon found the end zone through the air. He also threw a little tap pass to Rashee Rice here this past week. I mean, it's if Pacheco suits up, are you starting either one of these guys in your semifinals in the fantasy playoffs?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly PPR with McKinnon, because I think McKinnon's been pretty decent just the entire year as a receiving back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say exactly how, but, you know, just maybe a little in PPR, but that's it.
And Sky Moore, I mean, not that he's been a huge factor, but he's out for the season for the Chiefs. So, yeah, it opens up another lane where he could get a little bit more run through the receiving work. But yeah, if Pacheco suits up, you can't possibly really start either one of these. If you do, it's Jerick McKinnon, because he does profile as the pass catcher, and you know, he could do that. Edwards-Helaire has just not he is a bust of a first round pick. He's looked okay in limited fashion, but he's been banged up every single season, and you know, availability is an ability, and he just doesn't have that ability, unfortunately, so far on the season. I'm okay with grabbing either one of those, but again, it's more if I'm playing the Pacheco owner or if I've got Pacheco myself. If not, then I'm kind of really just leaving those guys out of there. Unless not a lot of running backs got banged up here. Unless you're hoping on Keaton Mitchell, then you should have better options than those guys. Zamir White, he's available in about 80% of leagues. Josh Jacobs, he didn't suit up. It was kind of a game time decision when he didn't suit up, you know, against the Chargers there on Thursday Night Football. But, I expect him to kind of suit up here, kind of a contract year here for him. Does he decide to go out and put up more tape, or does he decide to, further his health and his longevity in the league? I don't really know which way he goes. I wasn't shocked. I said that he would miss the previous game. I think he plays this one, but again, I think we're going to have to, you know, check out the practice reports. Zamir White, in a game where they scored 63 points, not that I expected him to get multiple touchdowns, but he didn't really impress me on any particular run. I mean, he is obviously the insurance back if Jacobs were to miss again, so I would grab him in that situation, but I didn't really see much out of Zamir White. What did you see? I mean, I kind of liked him. I think it was out of Georgia. But what did you see out of Zamir White here for the Raiders? Are you just grabbing him if you're the Jacobs owner?
Probably. But I Jacobs probably does play, which means that White really does go back to almost no value because they just don't use him when they have Jacobs. But if Jacobs is out, then I, you know, heavily prefer him to some of the guys we've already talked about.
Yeah, certainly. If Jacobs is out, I mean, the matchup isn't ideal. It's against the Chiefs on the road. The last matchup was ideal against the Chargers. So it's, you know, the tale of two tales. And yeah, I mean, it's a muddy situation with the running back situations outside of Ty Chandler. Who, like I said, even if Alexander Mattison plays, we're both confident in starting Ty Chandler going forward. That's it I have for running backs. Do you have any other ones here that you wanted to mention?
Maybe keeping it. Well, we're probably too far into the season, but you never know. Maybe Justice Hill has a miracle game in Baltimore.
Yeah, Justice Hill. I mean, this is a name to know. Because Keaton Mitchell did go down, and you know, he's shown flashes. He is the clear number two running back now for the Ravens, who love to run the ball a lot. I mean, I think I was looking at it earlier, but they run the ball at the highest or second highest rate in the league. So yeah, you've got to grab somebody in that type of offense. You know, Gus Edwards were to go down, he's going to be the top priority add. So just go ahead and scoop him up if you have a bench spot at the end of your bench, certainly. On to wide receivers. I have one guy at the top of my list. I'll see if you agree with him there. I'm going Noah Brown. He's available in about half of leagues. He just had a big game with no Nico Collins or CJ Stroud. 8 for 82 and a touchdown on 11 targets. I think even if Nico comes back, you know, it's going to take away targets, but he could be hobbled. But it also takes away some of the defense, you know, away from him. Noah Brown, he's shown flashes multiple times here this season. CJ Stroud is almost certainly to be suit up here, especially with the Texans winning in an overtime win there. Yeah, Noah Brown's at the top of my wide receiver list. Is he at the top of yours?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would have grabbed him 2, 3 weeks ago personally. So he's still there. That's fantastic. Yes. You never know what happens with injuries. And if you just need a little help at the wide receiver position, he's as good as it's going to get.
Yeah, when you're saying you would have grabbed him a few weeks ago, Tank Dell, obviously we saw him go down. That would have been the time to pick him up. But he was likely dropped in a lot of leagues. I mean, he had 2 targets, no receptions, 5 targets, no receptions, and then comes out with this game, you know, with a backup quarterback and with no Nico Collins. So maybe that gives you a little bit more allure towards Noah Brown there. But it's against Cleveland, which isn't ideal. But at the same time, you know, Joe Flacco and the crew have been putting up points. I think you can do worse than Noah Brown. And CJ Stroud is just unstoppable.
I was just gonna say, he's also the guy who put up what back-to-back 24-week or 24-point weeks too.
Yeah.
So he can explode at any time.
He certainly can. This other guy, he can explode as well. I'm talking about Curtis Samuel. This is Commanders wide receiver slash sometimes halfback. He plays a little bit of everything, but Curtis Samuel, I mean, he just had himself a 2 touchdown week, 9 targets, 5 receptions, 51 yards, and the 2 TDs against the Rams. Now he gets to play the Jets, which it seems like every single week you're playing roulette with with the Commanders pass catchers. Like it was a, you don't know if it's gonna be a McLaurin week, a Samuel week, a Dotson week, Logan Thomas week, or whatever. But Sam Howell, for the most part, it's been getting a good back-to-back kind of bad games. You're not excited about that. You know, that's not encouraging. You know, you start out the season so hot, majority of the season, and then just the last few weeks have not been good. And now you get the Jets, you get San Francisco and Dallas to wrap up the end of the season. Hopefully, they still give him some run, but he has got a little bit of risk of, you know, getting benched. You know, we saw that. Here he got benched for Jacoby Brissett. What does that mean? I think Brissett might have actually been the one who threw Curtis Samuel a touchdown. So if that's the case, I mean, I'll double check the tape. But yeah, it's Curtis Samuel. I'm not super excited about him. I like Noah Brown a lot more. Where are you at with Curtis Samuel?
I mean, he's a gamble normal weeks because of what you said. You never know who's going to catch it in Washington. So he's a gamble on normal weeks, and now he's got terrible defensive matchups. So no, I don't see much value in him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to play the matchups here, especially like I said, the semifinals. A lot of you are in the semifinals. Some of you are in the consolation bracket, which is still just as important. But yeah, I'm not gambling with Samuel. I know that he's, you know, against it right now. Joshua Palmer, here's a guy I'd probably start him over Samuel. Certainly, I mean, he had a 4 catch game, 113 yards and a touchdown. Although, of the 113 yards, 79 of them came from a broken play. And yeah, I mean, Joshua Palmer might be the only guy in town. Keenan Allen, he's 31 years old. He didn't suit up last week. Does he suit up this week? The Chargers have nothing to play for. Just depends on what he wants, you know, if he's close, what he wants to do in his career. I mean, it's all the ball is in Keenan Allen's court. He is a gamer, so maybe he gets back out there. Are you confident playing Joshua Palmer if Keenan Allen's out there with Easton Stick, or would you prefer, obviously would prefer that Allen's not there, but where's your confidence level with Joshua Palmer?
Yeah, I mean,
They play the
there's a
Bills.
couple of things there. I'm not a huge Easton Stick fan, but Palmer still managed to get it to put up some numbers with Easton Stick. But he's going to be playing, like you said, it's kind of they're not playing for anything, so who knows if Keenan Allen's going to be out there. I'd feel a lot better if it was just him. I guess I'd say, that'd be give me actual confidence.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, he was the only guy last week and still only managed four targets in a game they were playing, they had to throw from the get-go, which that's the part that kind of scares me. But we know it's going to be probably a similar situation against the Bills. So they're going to have to put up points because the Bills will. So Joshua Palmer, like I said, I have more confidence in him than Curtis Samuel. It gives me a little more confidence if Keenan Allen's not out there. But yeah, that's where you kind of go. This next guy, DeMarcus Robinson, he's available basically everywhere, but three straight weeks with a touchdown. He was getting a little bit of volume the previous week. He had 10 targets, but then out of nowhere, just another game where he wasn't getting a ton of targets, and yet he was still, finding the end zone. So if you want somebody who has touchdown upside, DeMarcus Robinson, you could do worst. What does scare me is Tutu Atwell is back. So that's kind of a thorn in his appeal. For DeMarcus Robinson, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, Dontayvion Wicks. I like him quite a bit. He might be ahead of, and situational as well, but he might be ahead of Joshua Palmer. He just played Tampa Bay. He went 6 for 97 against Tampa Bay, which is, pretty nice for his role. But Jayden Reed got a little banged up in this game. Christian Watson missed the last two games with a hamstring injury, still dealing with that, and that's kept him out multiple weeks before, not only earlier this season, but the season before. If the two of them were to miss, I do see some interest in Wicks, who Jordan Love, obviously, he has an eye for, but besides Romeo Doubs, kind of the last man in town.
Yeah, much like Joshua Palmer. Depending who's on the field, it could be a very attractive option.
Ooh, the Green Bay plays this week. They got Carolina, which that part doesn't excite me. Not that their defense is great. I mean, their pass defense has been okay, but at the same time, you don't need to pass against them. They don't put up points. Seven straight weeks with Bryce Young not throwing for 200 yards. So yeah, it might be a situation where they don't even need him. But if they need a deep shot, he is always their guy. And Jordan Love is more than willing to take a deep shot. So yeah, Dontayvion Wicks is a guy who I've got up there. I had to mention this guy because if you get two touchdowns in a game, then you got to be mentioned on the waiver wire episode. It's magic. It works like that. But Trey Tucker, he's a rookie quarterback for the Raiders out of Cincinnati. I like Tyler Scott a little bit more, Bears wide receiver, his college teammate. But Trey Tucker, I mean, just coming off a two touchdown game. He has, I mean, you're not starting him in any kind of redraft league, but in Dynasty, I think he's worth the add. Tyler Scott, I think he's also worth the add there. Did you have any read on either one of these guys before the season? Did you like either one of them? And if so, which one?
I didn't have a big read on either of them before the season, so yeah, unfortunately can't add much.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, Tyler, like I said, both of them. It was weird to see Trey Tucker go before him in the draft, but I digress. And I mean, he has two touchdowns on the week, and Tyler Scott doesn't. So, like I said, worth a dynasty stash, but not a redraft pickup. On to tight ends. Unless you had, sorry, did you have any other wide receivers you wanted to add here?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, it's pretty chalk at the top and pretty top heavy there for it. So, on to tight ends. A couple of guys that are probably rostered, but worth mentioning certainly. Isaiah Likely. He's likely owned, but I mean, he has filled Mark Andrews' size 15 cleats nicely. He's had some huge catches, especially the one on Sunday Night Football where Lamar rolled out, avoided a sack. It was like a head snapping sack, and then throws it across the field, which is typically a bad idea, but throws it across and yeah, finds his big man target, Isaiah Likely, and he's just kind of getting it done. So yeah, he's at the top of my list. He's available at about 40% of leagues, so like I said, likely not out there, but I double check. Is he at the top of your list for tight ends as well?
Yeah, he would be. I didn't have him on the list just because of his ownership, but yeah,
Totally.
absolutely. I mean, we've talked about him multiple weeks, so
Absolutely.
hopefully you were listening a few weeks ago.
Yeah, please do. If you were listening a few weeks ago, also this guy, Darren Waller. He's available in about 40% of leagues as well. Typically, we try to mention people who are 50% or under roster just so we can, appeal to most leagues. But, always want to mention some of these guys who are on the fringe and could possibly be there. But Darren Waller, he only played 40% of the snaps, but was still second in targets on the team. So in a game where, they play Philly, which is a game where they're going to have to throw the ball. Can't run on Philly. And he seems to be part of the game plan. I don't have a ton of confidence in him. I would certainly take this next guy over him some more. But Darren Waller, you could do worse. He can explode on any single play, and the fact that they're wanting to get him in there when the Giants don't really have too much to play for is pretty exciting. So,
he's a talented weapon. We've all seen him before, seen him produce.
Yeah, he's one of the most talented tight ends in the league, who has looked like the most talented tight end in the past 2 weeks. Hunter Henry, he's available in 80% of leagues, rostered 20%. But not only does he get Denver, which is the best matchup for tight ends, he's looked awesome with Zappe at quarterback. Your boy Bailey Zappe, my boy now, I've inherited him, Bailey Zappe. I mean, he basically had, I don't know if you got to see it, but there was a touchdown that was called back, but yet another game where he is just the top target. What I was concerned with Hunter Henry and why he was my sit of the week just last week was, it was his birthday game, and he had three targets. And with those three targets, he turned those into two touchdowns. I don't usually like those odds. It didn't come with a lot of yardage either, which he's never been a yardage guy. But he's been a touchdown guy. And, in 2 weeks, he has three touchdowns. But he also, he had nine targets, seven receptions, 66 yards, and a touchdown this previous week against Kansas City. And now the Kansas City were sixth best against the tight end. Now he gets Denver, who are the worst against tight end. And you could certainly do worse than Hunter Henry. Just a little foreshadowing. He might go from my sit of the week to my start of the week. Just a little heads up.
Yeah, no, it's a juicy matchup coming up. And he seems to be Bailey Zappi's favorite target. So that's a good combination.
Yeah, kind of easy when there's not too much to, nobody else there that's going to be taking any kind of looks away from you.
Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot at all. Last tight end I want to talk about here, I've got Tucker Kraft. This is kind of a deeper league play, but he is clearly the Packers tight end. Luke Musgrave, rookie tight end for the Packers as well. He's rehabbing an injury right now, so it's not a favorable matchup against the Panthers. Like I said, you don't really need to throw against them, but if Christian Watson and Jalen Reed were to miss, I think just like Dontavian Wicks, he could get some more looks. But he's playing. He's out there all the time. He's basically, 95% snap player. So he's out there glued to the field.
Yeah, and, he was actually decently highly picked, which is odd since they also picked Musgrave in round one.
Yeah.
A very athletic tight end, and now is just getting his chance, and he's, I would say, doing somewhat predictably well with it. So,
yeah, it was a little bit of a head scratcher when they drafted two tight ends.
Yeah, I don't know. They're going for the old Patriots, right?
Yeah. I mean, if
it works for them, it can work for the Packers, I guess.
Yeah, they've got a very young roster. I mean, even Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs is a second-year player. They've got a really young pass-catching core. Hopefully they still like Love and they can make a little bit of a run here because Green Bay's looking nice.
Mm-hmm.
Any other tight ends you want to mention here, Big Jonah?
No. I did want to make sure we got to Tucker, but that was it.
Yeah, Tucker Kraft for sure. On to defenses. I'm going to make it kind of easy. I'm going to give you my three pretty quick, and feel free to put them in any order you would like. But I've got the Bills at the Chargers because of Easton Stick. You're not an Easton Stick fan either, but the Bills just shut out basically the Dallas Cowboys, which their offense is way better than the Chargers. I mean, the Bills defense hasn't been especially great, but they're getting hot at the right time. Now they get to play the Chargers, who we just saw what happened with the Raiders. So I'm really excited about that matchup. Get the Bengals at the Steelers. They announced that they're going to be starting Mason Rudolph, which I personally think that's a downgrade. I don't like Mitch Trubisky a ton, but yeah, Mason Rudolph is certainly not an upgrade for them. So that's I think a pretty good pick there. We're picking on the quarterback position, so you know I had to mention the Packers at the Panthers. Bryce Young mentioned it earlier. 7 straight games without 200 yards. They just look like they're not trying on offense, and they won their second game of the season with, I think, 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been abysmal for a lot of these offenses. I think the Bills have the highest upside, but I think probably the safest one is probably the Packers versus the Panthers, just because I know they're not going to do too terribly much on offense. Any other defenses you wanted to mention, and which one do you have the highest out of those three?
You know, I'd probably go with Buffalo, actually. I think I really like their defensive line. And even though Stick can move around, you know, back there, he'll still get rattled. May not be sacks, but could lead to turnovers.
Yeah, he looked absolutely lost. I mean, it looked like a guy who hadn't played a lot of NFL ball, and that makes a lot of sense because he's coming into his first NFL start. So, yeah, that's it's not ideal. And he's just been dribbling the ball on the ground at 4 fumbles in 2 games. Yeah, it's I would be happy starting the Buffalo Bills defense versus Easton Stick.
Yeah.
Any other defenses you wanted to add here? I mean, I feel like those are kind of the top ones who aren't crazy rostered. The Bills one you might think was rostered, but they played the Chiefs and then they played the Cowboys. So in a lot of leagues, they were dropped.
Yeah. No, I mean, those are kind of the three ones that are going to stick out and that you're going to want to target.
Yeah, and it's champion, you know, it's the playoffs. So you want to start the best of the best. Hopefully one of those are available and you can get them out there. Like I said, I'm comfortable rolling out any of those. But that's it. You know, you can go ahead. Don't forget to check out the website, draftdive.com. You can also find us at DraftDive on Twitter, or you can find myself at _ColtWilliams. How about we go ahead and sign us off, Jonah, and we will catch the people on Wednesday with our Starts and Sits episode.
Yep, thank you all very much for listening.